All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Anime Brothers with your host. I'm Josiah Pradashni. That's Tyso Fly over there. Oh, let's get into it. We got some manga chapter reviews going on for you. What were the latest we got? We got last week's My Hero Academia. Yep. We got to catch up on last week's One Punch Man. And then we can go back to where I am currently in the Fire Force manga. Yes. So what were your thoughts on, what was it? It was chapter 293?
Yeah, My Hero Academia chapter 293.
All right. What were your feelings on it?
I liked it. Reasons for they explained why Lumileon got his powers back. Because, like, was it chapter before when he showed up, or was it two chapters? I know it was one of the two. I was happy because, you know, Lumileon, I feel like he's, like, you know, one of the top heroes, all that stuff. But I also wanted to know how he got his powers back. Like, obviously, it had to be from Eri, but did she have control? Was it just kind of like a fluke accident, like she touched him or something? But this chapter explained it all, and that was one of the reasons why I liked it. And then the second reason was that in the middle, when Bakugou came back, dudes with the jet legs, I forgot his name.
Oh, and Jenny.
Ida-kun. Yeah, there it is, Ida-kun. Yeah. Ida. When they all came to help Genus, I thought that was pretty sick, you know, because it's like, is he going to be able to contain
giant Machia?
Yeah, Machia. Is he going to be able to contain him? Are the Numos going to get him, and he's going to get released, all that, and then they all show up, so, you know, I mean, kind of predictable, but still loving it.
The chapter was definitely pretty, I mean, it was beast in my opinion, like, mm-hmm. like you said, like Lumileon, like, because he's one of the, like, the big three of UA, he's not one of my favorite characters. I know he, like, a lot of people love him, but I think he's cool. He's just not really one of my favorite characters right now. Like, I'm all about the class 1A and some of 1B, focused on those guys. But you had a feeling that he was gonna, well, I mean, you were thinking that he was gonna get his powers back. And of course, when he did, it's like, it was interesting to see how they develop it. We got more in depth of the training that they're doing with Eri to help her control her powers. And he's just like, well, she's been working on lizards and stuff. Like, it's always lizards. Whenever experiments like happen, like, you see, like, oh, it's always on lizards. Like, they're usually the first go-to.
Poor lizards, man. Yeah. Poor lizards.
But she was able to, and she was getting some progress done. Like, obviously, they're not where they would want to be for her powers. But Lumileon was just like, okay, well, you know, I trust her enough. Like, please check to see if you can reverse the power. And it worked. So he got his powers back and was able to come through. Yo, this dude. But Bakugo, man, this dude got issues, man. Yeah. He's like, he has how many holes in his body from getting punctured by Shigaraki?
He's still fighting, bro.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Yo, but my favorite, like, he's trying to do this grand speech and he's just like, oh, you're finally, yo, Bakugo. And he's just like, nah, that name's dead.
Yo.
Yo.
Yo, finish it with the name. Finish it.
Yo, this dude comes with the most. Hold on. I gotta go look back again.
What the name was. Yo, I got it. I got it. He called himself Great Explosion Murder God Dynamite.
Yo, if he had just stuck with, like, Dynamite, I was like, okay, maybe that work, but nah. He always gotta be the full thing. And then everybody was just like, Genius was like, that's another dud. Everybody was like, yo, that's way too long. It was like, you gotta be kidding me. And then the man was just like, haha, that's kind of funny. He was just like, yo, it's not a funny name.
he was like, it's serious.
I'm like, oh gosh, Bakugo. Like, what if this dude is ridiculous with the. I was like, why? It's so unnecessary. That name is way too long. And I'm just like, wow. But I got to see everybody. Yeah. So Vegeta was like, oh, it's another dud. Ida was like, that's way too long. Neji was like, that's chaotic. Even the villains got on his case. Even the villains got in his case. One was like tacky, and then Spin. The only person who like liked it was like Spinner. Spinner was just like, that's kind of cool. It was like, no, it's not.
It wasn't. Cool. It was.
And then the man just laughed at him. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. But then all of a sudden, it's like, Deku's trying to still like find the strength to get back into this battle, and he's starting to work that way. But honestly, I want to see the more development between Todoroki and, I mean, I say Todoroki, they're both Todorokis. So Shota and Toya. Because that's interesting.
I was just going to say, I think that's going to happen in the next chapter, just because the way this chapter ended with Toya versus Shoto, and then Deku. Man, I had to keep thinking like a port or something. But Deku, he comes in just for like split second. Which he updated that his ability. That was kind of cool. Using styling his black whip the same as what's her name? Froggy.
So you use like Froggy's power. Like
yeah.
That was smart. Like I'm saying. There's always a development, and this is like one of the reasons why I love this show so much, because like they're heroes, but you know, like they're also kids, so they're learning every step of the way to try and improve their powers. It's interesting to like be on that journey with them. For both sides too, it's like you have the heroes and also the like the League of Villains. They're not maxed out at their power yet. Mm-mm. So they're not just infinitely strong. Like they're both kind of like on the same level, each side growing. Along as the story progresses and every time they get into battle.
So, question for you. Just based off, like, you know, other animes and things I've read and seen, do you think Toya's gonna have a change of heart later, moving forward?
Right now, I'm going to say no. I kind of don't want, I like to see him, like, I want to have him, like, on the bad side just to, like, give Todoroki that, like, that complex, to give Shoto that complex, just so he can have something, like, a goal to work towards to try and bring him back, but it never actually works. Right now, he's determined to self-destruct. Have them both go up in flames, and he simply doesn't care because, like, he wants them both dead just to see Endeavor, just to give Endeavor that final pain. So right now he's looking like a lost cause, but it's gonna be interesting, like if Endeavor finally like breaks out of that like snap he's in, because he's basically frozen and paralyzed with like shock and terror. So I'm not even terror, like he was in shock for a while, but I think he finally like broke out of it.
Deku's words, it kind of like snapped him out of it. I don't know if he's like fully snapped out of it, but like he at least moved. He moved.
Yeah. So now it's gonna be interesting to see if we can have to see Endeavor and Shoto team up against Dabi to see how he does against those two.
That'd be a sick battle.
It would be.
I'm going to make a prediction that after like all those battles and all that stuff, Toya's obviously not going to lose, but their Endeavor and Shoto, they're not going to die either. I think Toya, with his like last like breath or, you know, change of heart or whatever, he's going to sacrifice himself and do something against the League of Villains.
Really?
Yep, that's my plot twist.
That's interesting. What makes you think that?
I think that odd bond between Toya and the other brother,
Natsu.
Yes, Natsu. Oh crap! You should know that because it's from Fairy Tail. But I think Toya and Natsu's like that bond from way back then. I know he's like suppressing it now and saying it doesn't matter and stuff, but I think it's gonna bubble up at some point. And I think he'll make that last like ditch thought and just try and save, not Endeavor. I don't think he'll want to do that. I think he'll change his mind towards Shoto.
That's the best. Like, so I think because, see, I'm on the complete opposite, and I think he's just going to go completely insane and either kill himself or just go back with the League. That'd be a tough blow to the League of Villains, though, if they have Dobby like die or kill himself, because he's definitely one of their like strongest members.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think he's way too far gone with this hate and Endeavor to go back. And like, he really wants to hurt Endeavor so much, he's willing to kill Shoto. I think he's too far gone. They might bring him back, but I think he's too far gone. Like, even if it's not too far gone, I don't want, for me personally, I just don't want him to like come back to the good side. Cause like, we don't even really see him, cause it's weird to say come back to the good side, cause we don't really even see him as a good person at all. Mm-hmm. You know, his training as a kid, but Endeavor pushed him too hard. Personally, I want him to stay on the bad side. Just like, yo, Endeavor, like, this is the product of your own doing. You need to be better, or else you keep it up. Even Shoto could end up like that.
True.
But I'm loving this dynamic. And it was crazy, right, though. I thought the one was done for, because freaking Great Mock Giant Machia, he, this dude, started breaking out and started ripping the threads, and it was just it was about to be over, and then all of a sudden we're just like, nah, we got words up from the other villains, like the antidote work, or the medicine work for this,
yeah,
the sleeping medicine. I was just like, wow.
Yeah, what did he say? Yeah, he was just like, power suddenly all gone, like right after he broke free of the threads.
Yeah, best genius's threads. Mm-hmm. So that was crazy. This was a good arc. Mm-hmm. Like, when it felt like it's not even over yet. I think it's probably gonna be over in like a couple, one or two more chapters, maybe three. But this was definitely a great arc.
And what's crazy about this arc is I can't like make a prediction of how it will end. Like, I can't make a definitive prediction. It's just like, there's too many scenarios that I think could happen to end it.
And so, if Great Maki is knocked out, how they're gonna get away with Shigaraki? Because he's beat, his body's burned, like, and he's beat. So there's no way he's walking. So it's just like, how are they gonna get out of here?
I don't know. Maybe Shigaraki wakes up, he gets a power boost. There's a whole bunch of possibilities that we don't know. Because, in all honesty, I kind of forgot about that medicine thing that they gave the giant. So when they brought it back up in this chapter, I was like, oh yeah, forgot that even happened. So there's probably something else that happened in previous chapters that I forgot, and they're going to bring up in the next chapter, like, oh yeah, that's why he can wake back up, he'll get four power. Like, just, I bet you there's something.
Well, that's his thing, because his transfer for all the quirks his transformation wasn't complete. They stopped it.
That's right.
Not to mention, All for One is still like in his head, trying to take over the body, and he's like having none of that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good conflict to try and make him, like, he's clearly OP, but not too OP to the fact that they can't beat him. He has his drawbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I agree. Overall, this chapter was fire.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what happens with the latest chapter for 294. Now, on to One Punch Man. This was 133.
I have 134.
All right, well, yeah, 134, you're right. Now, this was ridiculous, because the last two chapters, I completely hated, especially the last chapter. I thought that was complete garbage. because they just focused on my mask, and I'm just like, I can't stand that guy at all. Like, he has no redeeming qualities about him. Like, oh, in the presence of an ugly, that's his weakness because he thinks he's so beautiful.
That's a horrible weakness.
And I'm just like, what is going on here? And so he starts beating. And so, like, his dude's like, he starts, like, it was just a whole, like, psyche breakdown of my mask. And I'm just like, I don't care about his psyche. It's so.
It was a horrible chapter.
Yeah. It was so unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And then this chapter, because it started off with, but I guess, like, yeah, as much as I hated the last chapter, I guess it kind of works in conjunction with this chapter to build it up, because then this chapter started off with, what was it, like, Super
Luster?
Super Black Luster. What's his name? He's like Super Black Luster Alloy
or whatever. Yeah, like, that's his full name.
Yeah. And so he starts going through a breakdown because he got his ass beat by Garu. And then he starts talking about, but then that's the thing. Like, you can't feel bad about that because Garu is one of, like, the toughest villains. He's probably going to end up being the toughest villain in the entire series, maybe.
Yeah.
Because he just keeps getting stronger every time he gets beat to the brink of death.
Correct. So I also think, I'm just going to call him Luster for short. I don't think Luster should be so upset because, like, in any other villain, Luster most likely would have beaten him. Like, hands down. But no matter how hard you punch, how hard you beat, how even if you put him to the brink of death, Garu's going to come back, Saiyan style, and power up. So there was no winning for Luster. So you shouldn't feel bad.
But it's interesting, like, they used that for him to explain, like, his, like, terror of Garu. And just like, yo, this guy isn't the same as all these other villains. It's crazy. And then you see, like, from Garu's point of view, with his mind is just like, yeah, he's like, I finally figured out what I want to do. It's like, I finally believe I can reach the threat level of God. And it's like, yo, Garu's getting stronger.
Yep.
It is getting intense.
What do you think his theory of what the world should be? What do you think of that?
Garu's theory. He said it will, instead of, like, what buying his judgment, it was like implicit.
He called it implicit. What did he call it? Bullion.
And it's sad that I can't remember, considering I just read this.
Oh, he said the world doesn't need biased justice; it needs impartial evil.
My bad. Yeah, that's right. Impartial evil. Garu has a weird way of looking at things.
Yeah. Because he thinks the impartial evil will basically, he says this, it'll get everyone to join hands in thankfulness at simply being alive.
Because, like, yeah, he's like, yo, everyone everywhere will cringe in fear.
Mm-hmm. I was like, that's twisted, bro. But I still can't even tell, like, I mean, I know he wants to be, like, a demon and everything, but I can't tell. I don't even think he has a side. He's not on the human side.
It's one of those twisted worldview things. It's like you said, he's like, oh yeah, injustice and those responsible for it are going to disappear. It's like in a world where, like, he's trying to cause so much fear that he's trying to bring the world to a state where just the fact that we're a mere survival is a struggle just to survive. All the evil deeds will go away because of the fact that just the point of trying to live is a struggle. People won't be focused on trying to do evil deeds. Which is crazy. Guys, that's basically like, it's like, like Yagami without the Death Note. It's just like, yo, I'm going to start killing off all these people discriminately to reduce the world of fear. It's like they're going to live in so much fear that they won't do evil deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, that's really not the best way of going about things. It's like, nah, you're just evil.
Yeah. But then, what was funny is, Ami Mask Wasn't he like he was one of the people to cheer up or kind of cheer up Luster?
Yeah. So now I find it funny, like he came through and then he just started like kicking Luster, and he's just like, yo, you know, he's like, why are you feeling bad? He was like, aren't you ashamed of your own like whining and excuses? And then everybody else was just like, yo, bro, weren't you just in a panic attack just like a few seconds ago? You're like, yo, are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
But yeah, but they use that. And I guess because of my mask was the one who was in like that panic state before, he was the best person to break, to try and break Luster out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite part though is like nothing was working on Luster. He was still in like his state of panic. And then a pure prisoner was just like, yo, if you don't get up, I'm gonna give you a deep kiss. You see, yo, he's like, yo. Yeah, I was dying.
Oh man.
I was dying. I'm telling you, Puru Prison is one of the funniest people on the show.
And dude's basically always naked. Like,
like he's some... ridiculous. That, yo, that's his ability. And then when he gets the angel wings too, I'm just like,
wow. Oh yeah.
They go so extra with him.
My dude's definitely, he's a character, but I like him. I mean, he's got the he's got heart, man. He really cares for his comrades.
He does. But they just use that to build up like the characters, and then now they're actually gonna start working together. Usually they're just like solo or whatever, or do their own thing. The only people that you really see in a group that work like group wise, that's like the Ting Tong crowd. Speaking of which, Ting Tong Master joined the fight.
Yep.
Finally, on that freaking like, I can't believe he tossed that thing and just rode it.
Yep.
And then flew on that whatever. Like he broke off a piece of a building.
I think that was a boss move. I mean, how else are you gonna make a boss entrance without doing that?
He's the only one of the Ting Tong gang that I respect.
Yep.
That's it. Everybody else is just a bunch of jabronis.
You know what kills me? He at least knows his power level, because he came in saying, I'm here to help support. He didn't say, I'm here to save the day. He was like, I'm going to support you guys. And I mean, they everyone genuinely looked like they were happy to see him.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I think, like you said, this chapter is basically just a lead up to get all the S-class heroes working as a team. Which could be, you know, a good thing, because we don't, I mean, separate, they're decently strong. I mean, they're obviously stronger than everyone else separately, but together could be limitless.
True.
Mm-hmm.
But I like how the samurai was just like, all right, we're going to team up. And then everyone was just like, whoa, you want to team up? He was like, yeah, you sure? Yeah, you're the master swordsman?
Yeah. Wait.
Start questioning them.
I feel like he made a threat too, like, yeah, what? Yeah, we should start cooperating, taking blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. He says he'll strike them if they don't go with the plan.
Oh, yeah.
Dude's hilarious.
You got to have that threat in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a good chapter. I'm interested, but I really, they need to either put the focus back. Like, that was a good moment, but I'm ready for the focus to be back on Tornado and her battle. Even though Drive Knight's in there, I still can't trust Drive Knight.
Yeah. So I want that to come back. I want Garu. I mean, we just got a glimpse of it, so I'm expecting him to come out and start fighting. And I want Saitama to get out of that. Like, he can bust himself out of that. We all know he can do it. Just do it.
Yeah, he can. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense why he's being trapped with that little demon or whatever. I mean, it's funny. Their conversations with each other are hilarious, but there should be no reason why Saitama is still trapped in there, because he could have punched himself out ages ago.
Yeah, it makes zero sense. I'm over here just like, what the hell?
Nah, I'm also ready for my boy King to come back into the scene.
Okay, stop it.
Yo, the King's roar, man. The King's engine. I need that.
I can't with the king. I can't with the king. Oh my goodness.
Yo, that dude is golden. He is gold. I need the king's ancient.
he just happens to be in the right spot at the right time. All the time and gets credit. It kills me. I can't stand him.
It is hilarious. Because obviously this dude's heart beating so loud, everybody's just like, oh yeah, King's ready to fight. He's just like, nah.
He's terrified. Oh man. He's a comic relief. I like him for that.
Exactly. Yo, imagine if it's just like, yo, down the road, you find out King actually has like some beast fighting ability.
That'd be sick.
That'd be crazy.
And he just never knew.
Because like, he's never had to do anything.
Yeah. King. But yeah. No, that concludes the One Piece. I mean, you know, One Punch. Sorry. Wrong anime. Wrong anime.
Wow, One Piece on the brain.
Every time I say one, it's always going to end with peace because of my boy, Monkey D. Luffy. But anyways, that's for another day. That's for another day.
It's on your own time.
Yep. Let's,
Fire Force. I guess last place I left off was chapter... Let me see. I just finished 159, so I'm on 160. So leading up to where I last left off,
159.
A bunch of stuff happened, but for the main parts of me catching up, like the main stuff, they had just left the island. Mm-hmm. Where with the penguin, and we talked about that, and they discovered that the preacher created the Holy Soul Temple. And that Amaterasu was created by using people with the Ouroboros.
Yep.
So, and they've discovered that you need 8 people you got to have 8 to sacrifice to them to start it.
With 8 pillars. Yeah,
for the 8 pillars. And then because of the fact that the preacher started the Holy Soul Temple or whatever, that led the 8th to believe that there's a connection between Hajima and the preacher. So the 8th went to go investigate Hajima. And there was you find out that Hajima had, the sixth Adola Burst.
Mm-hmm.
When Nadaku. And that led to an insane, so the 8th went to go investigate. And of course, when there's a Dolo Burst around, you know, the White Hoods or the Knights of the Ashen Flame, they obviously know about it. So they came through, and that led to a 3-way battle between the 8th, Hajima, and the Knights of the Ashen Flame. But you tell me, you give me your thoughts, because you obviously you're way ahead of me. So you give me your thoughts on what you were going through during that battle.
During that battle, so. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. The leader of the seventh is not. That's what his squad is, right? Hajime.
No. Hajima is like that company that Vulcan that's like stole Vulcan's family's techniques or whatever. The seventh is with like Benihama. Like,
yeah, that's who I was thinking of. Okay, never mind. Wrong one. So I just I just recapped on 159 just so I can put my memory back.
That's the latest chapter I read. But before leading up to it, before that we had to go to the battle between the 8th Hajima and the White Hoods, because because obviously they're looking to Shimmer Shine to protect Natsuko the Ouroboros, because he had just, especially after their failure with the 5th one, but that girl is insane.
Yeah.
She has but she has that sweet ability to trace the fire, and like she can see when fire is about to start. And then her own personal ability is she has the line where if she traces it from start to finish, it'll cause an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
She's obsessed with danger.
She's crazy.
And then what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, so the battle, I'm just trying to my memory back to the battle. Is that the one where they're facing the knight who calls himself Dragon?
No. This is when they're at the facility, and this is when we get introduced to Kurino, the guy who calls himself the Shinigami, the crazy dude.
Shinigami.
He calls himself Shinigami. And he's just like bullying. He's obsessed with like beating up on the weak. He doesn't want to fight strong opponents. He just likes bullying the weak.
Oh, I know where we are. Yeah. Okay. I got you. So this is with the little kid.
Yes.
Okay. Now I know where we're at.
Not so cool.
Yeah. It's tough for me with names because you know.
Yeah. I'm not good with. That is an understatement of the year.
All right. So, what my thoughts are on that part? I think one, that guy's twisted. I don't know why he's like that. I mean, I think they do go into it later, but the fact that he needs the weak. So this dude is like really strong, but he doesn't fight strong opponents. It's almost a waste for him to be as strong as he is because he doesn't fight other strong opponents. He just likes beating on weaker opponents. And so the government uses him to help build up this child who's another pillar to make this kid stronger. Yep. So in that essence, it kind of makes sense, but he's also just like a really mean teacher.
Yeah, he's really just twisted. Like, he doesn't even care about it being a teacher aspect. It's just, there's someone weak I can beat up on. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. And like, you see that through all the battle. He's trying to switch his target to whoever he finds out the weakest. Mm-hmm. But I like all of these. Shinra went crazy about Shinra was fighting, obviously, in his attempt to save. Not to go, he's gonna fight the White Hoods, and what was his name? The White Hood that's like the one with the blindfold, the big body, and like he has to speak out his commands.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Hey,
I know his name though. Couldn't tell you his name.
It is crazy. Like I just think I would have I had these memorized just by reading it from completely.
Now he's the knight for the chick pillar where she can control I want to say electricity. So yeah,
and we find out that, and that's what I was gonna say, is like we find out like all of the pillars have a bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is he's Haumea's. I really don't know how to pronounce her name, but I think I'm going to go with Haumea just because it's Haumea. So I'm going to say Haumea for now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's her bodyguard, and she is... No, but he's beast. Like, he has to speak out his commands or whatever.
What else is this beast about him is he can inflict whatever damage you apply to him, to you. It's almost like a full counter, kind of. It's almost like that.
Yeah. But I like how during the... What's it called? All right. During the... Oh, my bad. It's Sharon. That's his name. His name is Sharon.
Sharon.
But I like how during... that when they were actually, I know that's why you were thinking about when they were doing the seventh, because when they attacked, when they did the mission with the seventh troop, he was there as well. And that's when Shinra found out how to like counteract his ability.
Yep.
I believe so. Yeah, Shinra was able to counteract, but then it's like obviously once you learn to counteract it the first time, he knows about it, so it wasn't going to work. But he's fighting Sharon. And then Sharon like explains how each pillar has a bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the thing is, So his thing about Sean, obviously he's part of the white good, but he's loyal to his cause in defending Pillar, because even when they get Nataku or Nataku, I don't even, I'm just gonna call him Nataku. It just sounds better for me saying it. When they get Nataku, when he gets thrown into the inferno and becoming that big giant one, like they try to attack Shinra, he actually defended Shinra, and Shinra's just like, yo, what's going on? He's just like, listen, you're a pillar. My job is to defend pillars, so I'm gonna defend you. I was like, oh, okay. I was just like, you know what? You're about that job. It's like, you know what your job is, no matter which side is it. A pillar is a pillar. You're going to defend it. So I thought that was kind of cool.
No, I respect his loyalty and his what his responsibility is as a bodyguard for the pillars.
Oh, and the way he defended the incinerator ray or the radioactive way. What was it called? It's called, he has the Nataku's Adora ability. It's called the what? It was like impossible trauma. That was dumb. It's something with an I. Because he had, because obviously, like in his head, like Haumea just what was it? She manipulated his mind into thinking Rekka was still alive, and it's like Rekka kept torturing him, because obviously, if you're watching Fire Force, like even if, like obviously the spoilers, like we're gonna. If you haven't read it, then you if you haven't read up to this point, then you shouldn't be listening to this episode anyways. But obviously, Nataku is the little kid that Rekka implanted the bugs in back in season one.
Yep.
When he was going crazy, and so he's manifesting his ability, but he finally got it, and it's called the. Why can't I should really, you know what? I'm bad. I should really start writing these things down as soon as I'm reading it, because they said it's a radioactive ignition ability, but it's called something. And I forgot the name of it.
What's the boy's name again?
Nataku, Nataku. I'm trying to figure out his Adola Burst ability.
Looking it up too.
And this is bothering me. Because it was called a cool name. Because with the ignition ability, he can do the claw from his right arm. But he also has the other one.
Appearance, personality.
Which does ability. Make him go radioactive.
Ignition ability. Radioactive energy. Oh, I'm not seeing a name for it. I'm seeing like definitions of it.
Oh, there we go. It's his imagining, it's imagination. The infected, like it's something like infected of imagination or whatever.
Well, he can forge in a dueler link with others using emotions such as desperation and fear.
Yeah, because he formed an Adola link with
Humera or Humari.
No, with Shinra.
Oh yeah.
So he formed that Adola link with Shinra, and then And then he kind of kicked Shinra out. He's like, "Yo, get out of my head." Yeah, it was something about his imagination, because obviously she was manipulating his mind.
Yeah.
I think it was infected imagination. I just want the correct term, so that's why I'm looking at the chapter. See if I can
find that. Oh, yeah. It is infected imagination. I found one place that calls it that. Infected imagination is a third generation technique used by Nataku-san.
Okay. So yeah, and so that was what was making him like completely stronger, because his aggression was rising, and the more he was agitated, the radioactive waves were getting stronger. And so it ended up being like a tag team with Sharon, Shinra, and Kurano, the Shinigami, to try and stop Natsuki. Yo, but the funniest thing is, when Shinra was like, when Shinra was talking to Kurano, he was just like, yo, we got to work together. And Kurano just looked dead at him and was like, yo, are you my employer? He's like, yo, what? He's like, yo, we got to do this. Are you my employer? The fact that he repeated was just like, yo, you're literally not paying. It was basically just like, yo, you don't pay me. I'm not listening to a word you say.
Yep.
It was like, yo, are you my employer? And he said it twice. I was crying. And he was like, yeah, are you freaking kidding me? We're going to die. Are you my employer? He's just like, and then when he saw that things were getting tough, he's like, nah, I quit. I'm going to find a new job. And Shiver's just like, yo, are you serious right now?
The kid get too strong. So he was like, nah, yeah, I'm over
like,
it.
Nah. He's like, yeah, I'm over it. I quit finding a new job. And then all of a sudden he gets the phone call from his employer, and he's just like, they're like, yo, protect the kid. He's just like, yo, are you serious? He's kind of strong. Like, protect the kid. He's just like, fine, all right. But then he goes into like some hyper state. No, well, not really hyper state, but he finally starts battling Natsuki in his like the giant inferno form. Mm-hmm. And he's able to like cut off the arm and separate Natsuki from the body. And then you end up like, as weird as the relationship is, you find out it ends up being that Kurano is Natsuku's bodyguard.
Yep.
And like the eighth is pretty much Shinra's. So it's still with like, oh, the pillars have their bodyguards just in a different form. Mm-hmm. And like Kurano's telling Natsuki, he's like, yo, it's weird because he's like, yo, stay weak so I can keep tormenting you. He literally said, yo, stay weak so I can keep tormenting you. And pretty much Natsuki was just like, yeah. And he's just like, oh, all right. And that managed to calm him down. It's like, it's twisted, but it worked. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, if it works, man, I guess we gotta work. We gotta go with it. We gotta go with it. And it's crazy. And there were like, I know it's manga, but there was like some filler stuff that I feel is kind of fillery. Like when, because afterwards they have the thing where, obviously afterwards, Hajime goes and meets with the eighth, and it was the Shinra trying to talk to him. Was just like, yo, we got people. It's like, yo, Amaterasu was created by burning people with a dollar burst. And the president Hajime was just like, yeah, we know. And he's like, yeah, we know. It's like without it, it's like, you know, if we didn't have Amaterasu, you know how it would happen to people? There'd be so much devastation. If some people have to sacrifice themselves for it, what's the problem? And Shinra was just like, are you kidding me? But the way he broke it down was just like kind of twisted. And it was just like, oh yeah, we're using it like against you. And He basically was just like, yo, you're a firefighter, right? Like, you risk your lives to save each other every day. How is this any different? And it's like, damn. Guy would asking the hard questions.
Yep. I was just going to say, I agree with you with the small fillers in the manga. But I feel like that even though the fillers, they kind of just like, they still intertwine with the chapters and stuff. It's not like it goes full off base filler.
Yeah. And obviously if it's written in the manga, it's more like not really filler. But like, so for me, like when I was reading it and I saw the chapter where Shinra and the sister go to the church, mm-hmm. I'm just like, this wasn't really necessary. I guess it's more character like development with the sister, because obviously after finding out the preacher gone with the church, the preacher was the one who created the Holy Soul Temple. Like, she was having doubts and losing her faith in the church was wavering. And obviously, yep. The sisters are pretty important to each force because they have to say the prayer to cleanse the souls.
Batum.
And yeah, and liberate them before they can defeat them. So that was like, it was so great. It was still part of the story because, you know, the sister needs to keep her faith. But for me, it was just like, I felt like there could have been more. Like, I want to see the sister do more. If they're going to go that, so give me more with the sister. Actually, sure, we're doing some stuff. But she's not really...
There's more to come for the sister.
awesome.
That's awesome. More to come.
I can't wait. But yo, I will say this. There's one. I think it was just one chapter, but yo, I was crying the whole damn time.
Which one?
Because it was when the White Hoods activated assault. He was just like, yo, my training's complete. I'm coming after you, Tamaki. So he's trying to come after Tamaki just after their battle in the underground tunnels when they were in the nether. Obviously, Tamaki beat him with using her lucky Letcher lore.
Right.
And so, like, he was like, yo, because they were just like, yo, and the way they said it, it was perfect too, because the White Hoods were talking about, like, yo, is the training complete? Yeah, he's ready. And it's just like, assault is on the move. And they're like, the way his character design makes him seem like this beast. He makes him seem like this beast dude. And, you know, he probably is against anybody else except for Tamaki. But the best, my favorite part, though, is because he was talking about, oh, he's like, yo, Tamaki, she's such a devious woman and disgusting, despicable. I've done training to defeat her. And then they go to the next page. And then I go to the next page. And it's just like, yeah, I watched porn. I was crying. That was his training to not get affected by Tamaki. This dude watched porn and read a bunch of porno magazines. And then he tried to take on Tamaki. And of course, when he tried to take her, because he sent her a note trying to be all like anonymous and whatnot. So they go to meet up. And so he tries to attack her. And of course, her lucky Letcher alert activates again. And he shows up and like she falls over and he sees her panties. And he was just like, it's different in real life, and gets defeated. And they were like, they were just like, assault has been defeated again. They're like, yo, this opponent must be very strong. And I was like, yo, these guys have no idea what's going on. Why isn't anybody else going with this dude to watch his battle? It's the most ridiculous thing. So he tried to get stronger. He's just like, so his next level of training, he went to a strip club to try to get escorts. And then he's like, just like, all right, good. He's just like, he's like, oh man, I had this conversation with a cute girl. He's like, that's pretty fine. I'm good. Try to go after Tamaki again. This time her clothes kind of got ripped, and he's just like, nope. He's like, yo, still didn't work. He still got defeated. Yo, this dude got defeated 3 times by Tamaki. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, and thing is like, and the next chapter had nothing to do with it. Just progressed. It was just like one of those in between things. And I'm just like, yo, this is a funny ass chapter. This has nothing to do with anything. Like, if they put this in the actual anime, I'm just gonna just die, because it is so absurd. Like, when you look at Assault's character and his character design, this dude actually looks like a legit beast.
Yeah,
but up against Tamaki, nope, he was trash.
He was like, wasn't he like feared by everyone, because like he had so many kills and all that stuff, and then mm-hmm.
that's why they gave him the name Assault.
Mm-hmm. And then he can't handle girls with clothes coming off.
But when I tell you how hard I cry, he said, "I did so much training. I watched porn." oh my gosh. It was hilarious. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, wow, this is so absurd. Like, complete opposite of what you thought was going to happen. I'm just like, yo, what intense training did this guy go through? And it was something completely ridiculous.
Yep. I mean, if the only way to beat that Lucky Lure, I think that's probably the only training he can do.
But it's not working. It's not working. At all, in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he secretly, deep down inside, actually likes Tamaki.
I think that's how it ended, right? It was just like, yo, it's hard to go up against someone you like. But I'm just like, okay, like, but if that's the case, if he actually has feelings for something, like, then that needs to get developed further along in the story. If they actually going to make that a thing, right? But I'm sorry, that would be that one chapter. Oh my goodness, that was the funniest chapter that I've read so far. Yeah. And I was dying. Like, it was just so ridiculous and absurd. Like, completely out of place from what I thought it was, where I thought it was going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That comic relief, I like those ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but there's definitely more afterward, but kind of we're cutting it kind of close here with the time. So no, we can talk. We can speak on that next week.
Yes, sir. Should have some more chapter updates too. My Hero Academia. Not sure about One Punch.
Doubtful. I think that's monthly, isn't it?
I think so. I don't. Yeah, I feel like it's monthly.
Yeah. And my ears coming in, and then we'll be able to talk more fireworks. I think, especially during holidays, they don't. They're not really releasing new stuff like that.
No, I don't think they are. Good for you to catch up, though.
Mm-hmm. And I'll make sure to take notes. This way, we're not searching. We're not looking things up while we're talking. I mean, yeah. It's part of it, you know, can't remember everything. But, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes another episode of Anime Brothers. Once again, I'm Disciple Dashni at Taiso Fly. Do you do diligence? Find us on Instagram at Anime Brothers and on Twitter at A Brothers. That is at @ABROTHAZ.
Yes, sir.
Yes. If you like what you're listening to, leave a comment below. Even if you don't like it, give us some topics that you want to hear. Leave it in the comments below. Ty's in there posting almost daily on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So let us know what you like. We are happy for any type of feedback that you want to give us. And yeah, we just want to talk to y'all. So leave some comments, all right?
Yes, sir.
And
love it, people.
Yes. We love you all, and we'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm. Any out, y'all.